thank you for that, Shelley. Well, we're glad to have Brother Martin with us again. Tremendous, tremendous for us on Thursday night. Brother Martin, why don't you come?
Good morning. It's good to see you all today, and glad to be here. And I always look forward to the time to come out here. And last number of years we've been able to come. It was a couple years we didn't come, but I started thinking back. It's been a lot of years that I have come out here. I thank the Lord for it and for the privilege to be with you all. Introduce my wife, Terry, if you'd stand up, if you would. Thank the Lord for my wife and her traveling with me faithfully. Boy, I tell you, God gave me exactly what I needed in a wife, and I thank the Lord for her. And she's been very precious to me. I do want to mention the book table. I didn't bring anything up on Thursday because for the sake of time and all, but I want to tell you about a few things that are back there. We have these little books called Bible Story Snapshots. If you teach young people or if you have young people, I mean bus workers, Sunday school teachers, these are great little tools. This one's on 1 Samuel. It takes all the stories in 1 Samuel and brings them down just to a concise story and then gives you questions to ask. Great for devotions, for family altar and family devotion times also. We have six or seven different ones back there. And the reason I carry these is to try to be a help to y'all. I don't make a lot of money off these things or anything. I just want to try to give you something, put it in your hands to help you also. We have these visuals, the visual aids, and this one's on the Ten Commandments. There's 10 different sheets in here. Every sheet is this size, and it has each one of the commandments on it. There's ones with the plagues. There's one with the judges on it. There's different ones. And great for junior church or teaching teaching in your Sunday school classes, again, or for even your own children. We have Bibles back there, small pocket New Testaments for $8. The little books are only $3 a piece. There's a little bit bigger size Bible for $12. We got $14. Just a lot of different tools back there. I do have, for us older people, the Super Giant Print Bibles. I have a couple of those back there, amen? So we can relate to those things, hallelujah. And anyway, I have two of those back there, I think. So I carry it seriously to try to help churches. That's why I'm carrying it. And I hope you'll come take a look afterwards. Grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And we're going to look at a story here, and I'm going to give you a few simple little points from that. Thinking back on when, if you remember the story about Simeon and how Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Man, what a day that must have been when Simeon held the baby Jesus up in the temple. And just looked at that baby Jesus, knowing this was the Savior of all mankind. And to be able to see Jesus, man, what a powerful, powerful thought. You know, it tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, there's a day coming when everyone's going to see him again. And some people are going to be rejoicing and shouting, and some people are going to be in fear because of what's going to happen. But I want to look at this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 22, story of Paul, and he's rehearsing his salvation that occurred, that took place on that Damascus road. And as we begin to pick it up here, we'll just start in verse 1. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law and of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as y'all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. This is who I was before. And then he says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Now that tells me right there that I believe that he had already trusted in Christ as his Savior. Why? Because he called him brother. He said, Brother Saul. So he at that moment when God spoke to him from heaven, he put his confidence in him, began to follow him. It says, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Again, this conversion of Saul that's been replayed here. But I want you to focus on what Ananias said here to him. It said in verse number 14, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now, let me just say something. Stop for just a moment and say this. God, the Lord God has chosen every one of us. You say, what do you mean by that? He chose us unto salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he chose you. It's your choice to receive him or reject him. It's up to you. But he's already chosen you. He wants you to look to him. He wants you to be saved. And he wants to use your life for his glory and for his purpose. But it says that he has chosen you, and he gives him three things here. Number one, that thou shouldest know his will. Now, I believe just like he told the Apostle Paul here these three things, he has the same thing for every one of us that sit here today. What? Number one, he wants us to know his will. Amen. God, when God saves us, it's for the purpose of beginning to know what his will is for our life and to follow that will for our life. It's not about living for self. Too many people, too many Christians today are living life for self and for the pleasures of the flesh and that. But that's not what God's created us for. That's not what he saved us for. It's to know his will. Amen. If you don't know his will, man, you ought to get on a diligent search and beg God and get in his word to know exactly what his will for your life is. And then it goes on to say this. It says, and see that just one. You say, well, yeah, when he saw him on the Damascus road. No. That had already taken place. He said he's chosen you for these three things, to know his will, to see the just one from this point on, to be able to see the just one. And then also it says, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Well, he heard the voice of his mouth. Yeah, but that was when he got saved. But now, hey, when you get saved, God wants you to know his will. He wants you to see the just one, and he wants you to hear the voice of God too. Amen. You say, wait a minute, Brother Martin, you're talking about I'm going to hear the audible voice of God? No, not unless you've been without sleep for 3 or 4 days or something. No, you're not going to hear the audible voice of God. God spoke audibly in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he speaks to us through the Spirit that lives in us. Amen. We'll know his voice. We'll know when he's speaking to us, when he's talking to us. I have young people. I work with young people a lot. Young people ask me, how do I know when God's speaking to me? I say, you won't even have to ask when God's speaking to you, because you will know in your heart that God's speaking to you. That's how he speaks to us today. But I want to focus on that second thought for just a couple moments today. You say, what's that? To see that just one. There's way too many Christians live today without seeing God in their life. Let me tell you something. He wants you to see him every day of your life. He wants you to see the just one. He wants you to see him. You say, wait a minute, Brother Martin, you're talking strange here, man. You're talking about I'm supposed to visibly see. No, again, not unless you're eating pizza late at night or something like that. You're not going to see visibly the Lord Jesus, but you're going to see him through your life as he works through your life and as he does things in your life. And every day he wants us to see him. So I want to speak for just a few moments on this simple little thought here, what it takes to see him today. What it takes to see him today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless these next few moments that we have to spend together. I pray that you'd challenge our hearts, Lord. Help our hearts to be open and in tune to you, Lord. And I pray for those that maybe you're sitting here today that are without Christ. Lord, I pray that you would save their soul today before it's eternally too late. Lord, may they know the joy of knowing you as their Father and Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I pray for those that may be sitting here that are struggling and battling through life. Lord, it's been a long time since they've really seen you work or do something in their life. I pray that maybe through the thoughts today would challenge them and they begin to see you afresh and anew in their life. God, I pray that you would just help me to say only that which you would have me to. Hide me behind the cross and may you be lifted up. We'll be careful to give you the glory, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm going to give you, I got four little thoughts here, simple thoughts real quick, and give them to you, and then y'all can go eat. Man, why you talk about all that food, brother, beforehand, man? I'm telling you, just, oh my goodness. Okay. First thought is this. To be able to see the Lord today, number one, sometimes it takes the enduring of a trial. Not necessarily just the trial, but the enduring of the trial. Very, I guess, a pertinent story to this is in the book of Job. Look back to Job chapter number 1. And we see an individual who went through a great trial in his life. At the beginning of the story, I always tell people this is powerful because in Job chapter 1, in verse number 1, we see God's testimony about Job. What would God give as a testimony about you and I today if he spoke from heaven? This is Job's testimony. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means that he didn't want anything to do with evil. He pushed it away, shoved it away. He didn't want anything to do with evil. And what a testimony of it. You know the story here as it goes down through. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. It tells us that, I'll switch over to this one now. It tells us that he was the greatest of all the men of the East, and he prayed for his children that if there was sin in their life, that God would forgive them of that. And we go on, and we know that the devil came and presented himself. Satan presented himself before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Where you been?" He said, "From going to and fro and up and down throughout the earth." And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth?" He added that to the testimony too. There's none like him in all the earth, one that perfect man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and all this. And he said, "Yeah, but that's just because you put a hedge around him. You take that hedge away from him." And you know what? He won't be like what he is right now. And he says, "Okay, I'll take the hedge away. You just can't touch his body." And you know the story, what happens. All these people come along and tell him that he loses all of his possessions. He loses all of his wealth. He loses all of his fame. He loses all, and he even loses his children. And before the chapter is done, it tells us, and boy, you talk about another great testimony of a man. At the end of the chapter, in verse 20, says, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. What would we do if God took everything away from us? It says, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow. What a testimony. And it's not over. No, the next chapter starts out, Satan presenting himself before the Lord again. And the Lord says to him again, "Hey, where you been? Going to and fro and up and down throughout the earth." He said, "You consider my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." And he goes through and gives that testimony. And he says, he goes on to say, "And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." He said, "You tried to make me destroy him for no reason. But he's still holding fast his integrity." He goes, "Yeah, but flesh for flesh. You touch his body, it'll change." He says, "Okay, you can touch his body, you just can't take his life." And you know what happens. He gets afflicted with these boils and these sores all over. Just to the point where he's out on an ash heap. He takes little pieces of pottery, potsherds they call it, broken pieces of pottery, and was scraping these sores and boils because of the itching and the burning that was taking place and everything. And his wife came to him, and she tells him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now everybody gets on Mrs. Job. But the truth of the matter is, I don't believe it was evil what she was trying to do. She saw her husband going through a lot of pain and anguish, and she said, "It's okay, just go ahead and just curse God and die." And he says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women." What is it? He says here? It says, let me see here, grab the verse here. It says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Man, I'm telling you, he's continuing to stand fast through the trial that's come into his life. And by the way, the trial that's come into his life, just for the sake that the devil wanted to get to him. Amen. But have no fear. He had three really good friends that were about to come and help him. And you know the story. These three friends, and honestly, this is my own personal thought, is that they truly did with a heart. They came with a heart of wanting to try to help him. But the problem is they were flesh, just like you and I. And when they saw what Job looked like and what he was going through, they said, there's got to be something wrong here. And so they started hammering him and calling him out and telling him that he was, you know, what's the wickedness in your life? Confess it. You know, get these things right. And Job maintains his integrity all throughout. Oh, there was a time where he began to falter a little bit and question God, but God straightened him right out and he stayed true. But look at the very end of the story. Now listen, this is, you would think that Job, you talk about a man who was faithful to God. You talk about a man who was true to the Lord. You talk about a man that had a testimony from God. I mean, you would think this man really knew God and really had seen the Lord in his life. But it says in the very end of the book, in chapter 42, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Excuse me, here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And verse 5 says this, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What was he saying? Lord, I thought I knew you before, but now I do. I know I know you. I've seen you through the trial that's gone on in my life. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying sometimes it takes the enduring of a trial to get to the place where you really begin to see the Lord. You know, there's a situation that happened in our church, and I think I've shared this testimony, I'm sure, in the past here. There was four young men in our church. They were working together, a 25-year-old man, two 17-year-olds, and a 16-year-old. They were all very close to me. The 25-year-old man really helped greatly when we started the Bible college up there. I was the vice president of the Bible college. He helped with the buildings and everything, just very skilled with his hands and everything. But they got in a tragic accident, and a semi jackknifed and came down the road over, and it came over top of their vehicle and killed all four of them. His wife, the 25-year-old, was married. His wife, she had gotten saved in a meeting I preached in New York. And she came to the college through that, and I was kind of helped them a little bit in their dating and courtship and things. Just a sweet gal. And she was pregnant with their first child. They'd been married for 3 years, and they were supposed to go the next day and find out what the baby was going to be. And you talk about tough. Just think about being married for 3 years and losing your sweetheart just like that, and especially as a lady, and knowing that you're pregnant with the child that your husband will never see in this life. And she went, of course, she had the child, and he's a little boy. He looks just like his daddy. And it's been 10 years now. She's never remarried, but she's staying faithful to God. Amen. She's been faithful to church. She's been such a blessing and a help and an encouragement to all the ladies of that church up there. I mean, you talk about going through a trial, enduring a trial, and staying faithful. I asked her this question. Me and my wife, as I said, she's pretty close to us, and I feel like I can openly talk with her. And I asked her one day, after probably 5 or 6 years after it had happened, I said, Aaron, I said, what, you know, if there is something that you could say that was positive that came out of this, is there something positive that you would say the Lord has given you? And big tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, Brother Martin, she said, I'd have to say, I never dreamed I could be this close to God. Wow. What was she saying? I've seen the Lord. God's been here for me. Amen. You know, sometimes it takes enduring the trial. Here's the problem. A lot of times we quit on God and the trial comes our way. We stop, we turn another way, we try to figure it out our own way, rather than looking to the Lord, rather than enduring the trial and allowing the Lord to show himself to us. I guarantee you, every trial that comes into our life, the main purpose of every trial in our life is to draw us closer to the Lord. He wants us to get closer to him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to see that he's there for us, and he will meet our needs and care for us as we go through these trials of life. She was asked to speak at a ladies' conference that we had up there at the church in Gaylord. There's 600 ladies who'll come to that conference, and she spoke on what grief taught me about grace. Pretty powerful. She said, you know, it taught me that grace is always on time. God's grace is always on time. It's never late. She said, seldom early, but it's never late. Amen. It's just so many different things that she gave about that, about how important it is to just keep your eyes on the Lord, trusting God. Hey, what are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm just saying, hey, you're going through a trial right now. Hey, you just remain faithful to the Lord. You just endure. You just keep persevering. You just keep on going. Why? Because the Lord wants to show himself to you. Amen. And he will show himself to you. That's the promise of his word. Amen. You seek him, you'll find him. Amen. A second thing is simply this. Sometimes to see the Lord today, sometimes it takes, now this was a little bit tougher. Sometimes it takes someone or something being moved out of the way. See, what do you mean by that? If I just flip a few pages over to Isaiah, you know this passage, Isaiah chapter 6. Now, let me just stop and say again, okay, Isaiah is a prophet of the Lord. Isaiah is already prophesying. He's already out there preaching. He's already trying to get the people, the children of Israel, to turn to the Lord and proclaiming it. But at the same time, there's a king. The king that's reigning in Judah at this time, his name is Uzziah. King Uzziah was a very good king. Do you know there was, in the divided kingdom, in the northern kingdom, they had 20 kings in all the years of the divided kingdom. Of those 20 kings, they had zero good kings. At the southern kingdom, Judah, they had 19 kings. Of the 19 kings that they had, 8 of them were good kings. But even better than that, 4 of those 8 good kings, God brought revival in the times that they were the king over the land. One of those 4 was King Uzziah. He's one of those that experienced a great revival. He reigned for 52 years. I mean, I really believe in my heart that the people looked to the king as someone who drew them to the Lord, and they looked to him with great honor But then it says this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, here's what Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and it stood above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What are you saying, man? That didn't happen before, even when he was preaching, even when he was prophesying. But when King Uzziah got moved out of the way, guess what? He really began to see God in his life. Sometimes it takes someone being moved out of the way. Amen. I have a friend in a state in the Midwest. This guy, I was preaching for the church that he was at, there for a meeting, and he got a phone call. The preacher there got a phone call from a missionary in Germany. Missionary in Germany said, there's a young man and his wife and a couple children. They have 3 children I've been working with, and not sure they're saved, but they moved to your area. Would you go visit him? And he said, sure, I'll go visit him. Now, that was when I was there preaching 1 year. And I went back the next year to preach for this guy at that church. And when I came in, they have a long auditorium, kind of shotgun-style auditorium. And the back row back here, I saw this great big tall guy. And I turned to the preacher, and I said, who's that preacher? I don't recognize him. I preach at that church every year. And he said, oh, that's, and he named him. He said, that's the guy that missionary, remember the missionary that called me last year? I said, yeah. He said, that's the guy that he wanted me to go visit. I said, oh, good, praise the Lord. You got him in church? And he goes, wasn't quite that simple. He said, I'll tell you at lunchtime. So at lunch, he began to share the story with me. This young man and his wife, and they had a older daughter, and then they had a set of twins, a boy and a girl, and they got them to come to the church, and they got involved in the church for a couple, 3 months, and they seemed like they were enjoying it and everything, and then he missed a Sunday, and then he missed another Sunday, and the preacher went to visit him, you know, what's going on? And he said, you know, preacher, he said, man, we love the church and everything, man, and we love you, and it's nothing against you. He said, it's just... you know, we're doing some things in our life that we know aren't right, and you know, it's hard to come to church when you know you're not doing the things that are right. And, you know, but I believe there's a day when we'll come back. And he said, man, I wish you wouldn't do that. Just come and let God work in your life. And they said, well, there'll be a day when we come back, preacher. This is in a really big city. So 3 months later, their children or their two little twins or little toddlers, and they were upstairs taking a nap, and they went up to check on them, and the little girl had crawled out of the crib. And she got over toward the window, and she got a hold of the blind cord, and she got the blind cord wrapped around her neck, and she was hanging from the blind cord. They tried to revive her. They called 911 right away. The ambulance crew arrived at the scene. Right before the ambulance crew, the fire department crew arrived on the scene. This is one of the biggest cities, the biggest city in that state. And the person that stepped off the truck to come into their house, the officer of that truck was a member of the church that they had quit going to. That man, this is this man's testimony. I'm giving you the man's testimony, the man who just lost his little girl. He said this. It was as if God said to me when he walked in that door, what is it going to take to get you to trust me? You say, I don't believe God will do that. I'm telling you what this man said. Of course, you know who was there first right away to take, you know, to be there for him. The preacher of the church was there to try to encourage him, try to help him. Of course, they said right away, you know, we don't have a church or anything. You're our only church. You know, can we have the funeral there? Well, absolutely. The day of the funeral, Daddy got saved at the church. Mama made assurance of her salvation. They got involved in the church. They got faithful in the church. In the process of time, he got called to preach. He started going to the Bible Institute they had there in the church. And then he felt like him and the preacher counseled. And he said, you know what? I think I need to go. As a 38, 40-year-old man, he went off to Bible college and got his degree in Bible. You know what? You know what he's doing today? He's pastoring. I preach for him every year now. And he's going forward for God. And sure, he looks back at his life. And he even said this to me this year. He said, man, I wish it would have never happened. But he said, if that had not happened, none of these things would have fallen out the way they fell out. You know what he was saying? Hey, it took God moving somebody that was so close to me out of the way that I could begin to really see God in my life. You say, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Martin. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of people who make their spouses a god. Don't make God move them out of the way. What do you mean? I'm saying, man, look to the Lord, man. Look to God. Trust in him. Look for him. Keep him priority in your life. Keep him preeminent in your life. Don't let somebody get in the way between you and God. I'm going to tell you what. I love my wife with all my heart. And people have questioned us through the years. How can you travel on the road and your wife has to stay back? And how can you do all that? And I say there's one reason. Because she loves God more than she does me. And I love God more than I do her. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong in our relationship. We've got a great relationship. But we know who's first. And we've got to keep him first. Why? Because we want to see him in our lives. We want to see him use our lives. Amen. Some people are being hindered because of someone. Don't make God somebody... Move somebody out of your life. Amen. Amen. By the way, sometimes it's not someone. Sometimes it's something. What do you mean? There's something in the way. You can't even see God. You're holding something against somebody. You're holding a grudge against somebody. You're bitter against somebody. You won't let go of that. You won't forgive somebody. You're not seeing God in your life because you're a bitter person, because you're unforgiving, because you won't let go of something. Amen. You're not seeing God in your life because God's blessed you so much that you've got a lot of wealth and you've got God's blessed you with a good job and everything, and you're using it for yourself and you're not using it for the glory of God, and you're not seeing God in your life the way he wants to show himself to you. Let me tell you something. All the money in the world mean nothing if you don't know God in your life, if you don't see him working in your life. Amen. What he's saying, sometimes God has, I could tell you stories about that. I can tell you stories about friends of mine that were that close to being millionaires, and God had to remove everything from them. Lost everything that they owned. Lost their marriage because they put other things first. I think the people of Israel really
looked very highly to King Uzziah. And when God moved him out of the way, he shook some people up. And Isaiah really truly began to see the Lord that day. What is it between you and God today? Third thing is this. Sometimes it simply takes an act of true faith. I don't have time to turn there and read all the passage, but I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being an old fireman, amen. And I love that story, and I think about those boys and about how they took the stand for God. And, you know, you talk about taking a stand. They knew that if they did not fall down in worship at the sound of the music, that the golden image there, that they were going to be cast in the burning fire furnace. But the king, man, when he found out about it, he brought him before him. He said, hey, I'm going to give you another chance. But you know what they said, basically? Skip the music. You forget the music because we ain't bound down. They said, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your hand. Amen. What were they doing? I'll tell you what they were doing. They were taking a giant step of faith to believe that their God was bigger than this king, and their God would see them through this trial that was before them. And when they did, just a few verses later, of course, the king turned the furnace up 17 times hotter than what it was, and it slew his own people, guards, as they took him down there, and all that transpired that day. But then they go over and they look in the furnace there to see them boys burning up. I mean, they're bound down in that fire. And all of a sudden, the king says, whoa, wait a minute. Man, didn't we put 3 men down there? He said, we sure did, king. He said, but wait a minute, I see 4. And they're loose in the fire and walking around. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. What was he saying? Hey, what he was saying was giving the testimony of what was going on down in the fire. What do you mean? Hey, those 3 Hebrew boys, they were loosed in the fire. They weren't bound. Jesus was right there in the middle of it with them. Hey, if that ungodly king saw him in the fire, don't you think them boys saw Jesus in the fire with him? Amen. What are you saying? Sometimes it simply takes an act of faith. A real true act of faith to step out to believe God, and you can begin to see the Lord in your life. Amen. When at 38 years of age, when I left the fire department and we took that step of faith to go out to step out and just trust the Lord, I had 5 years to go to retire. I had 15 years in the fire department. I had 5 years military time, 5 years to retire, but God had called me and God opened a door. It was time to see if I would do it or not. We stepped out by faith to trust the Lord, and God began to unfold so many things in our life. We began to see the Lord in ways that we would have never, ever, ever seen God had we not just taken the first step of faith. You know, I told the college students, and I believe this with all my life, it's maybe a crude illustration, but our life is like an onion. You know how an onion has layer after layer after layer after layer after layer? It's faith is like that. What do you mean? When we take a step of faith and step out in faith, God peels back a layer, and he's got another one that he wants to show us. And then he's got another one. And every step of faith, he's got another layer that he wants, another step up that he wants to take us in our life. And he wants to show us himself more if we just simply get back to living by faith. Amen. We know it's the only thing that pleases him. Sometimes it's so hard to just step out and trust him. God may not be calling you to step out and go to the mission field or do something like that, but maybe God's calling you. He's speaking to your heart about being more involved, about helping in a Sunday school class. Hey, maybe about giving more. Amen. More than what you've been giving, or you know, to I don't know what it is, but learn to listen to God. Learn to stand on what's right too. And sometimes, and by the way, sometimes I hate to say it, but we're losing our children today. Why? Because we're not standing on truth. We're not standing on what the Bible says. We're giving in to our children today. We're giving in to compromise today. Let me tell you something. If you just take a stand, I know what you're worried about. Well, I'll lose my children if I do that. You really? You don't think God's in control of that? Amen. Just stand on what's right and trust God. Amen. He'll show himself to you. You'll begin to see the Lord in your life if you'll do that. And then lastly, it's just simply this. Sometimes it's just all about a hunger. And how much do you want to see God in your life? You remember the story of Moses, when Moses was back there and God had said that he wasn't going to go before the children of Israel anymore after they'd made the golden image, the brazen calf. They made that brazen calf and everything. God says, you know what, you're stiff-necked people. I'm not even going to go before you. Man, Moses set the tabernacle up because he wanted to know God's presence. He said, I got to know your presence, God. But then he went beyond that. And he said, it said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What was he saying? God, I want to see you. Man, I want to see your glory. I want to see. And what did he say to him? He said, you can't see my face, but you can see my back parts. And he said, there is a place by me. Man, I've clung to that my whole life, preacher. There's a place by God, and I want to be there. I hunger after that. What? I want to be there with God. I want to see him. How much do you really want to see him in your life? You know, the first step in that is just simply seeing that there's a Savior that died for you. And being willing to receive the gift that he's given to you of eternal life. How long has it been since you've seen the Lord in your life? Man, he wants to show himself to you. Day by day, he wants to show himself to you. Sometimes it takes enduring a trial. Hey, sometimes it takes something or someone being moved out of the way. Sometimes it takes just simply an act of faith. But sometimes it's just all about how much you really want to see him. How much do you desire? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask a couple questions as we close.